Welcome to China Horse Business, the one and only podcast focusing on the booming Chinese equine market, bringing to you by two experts of Chinese equine industry, Zoe King and Wen Li, from Shanghai and Beijing, introducing China to the world. Good morning, Wen. How's it going?
Good morning. Beijing is rapidly turning from spring to summer in 2 weeks, from 0 degrees to as high as 20 degrees Celsius.
Wow, what a roller coaster. Shanghai is already hotter than Beijing. Now, let's tell our listeners what do we have for China news today.
On February 28th, Chinese equestrian rider Alex Hua Tian saved a big win to start back in after claiming gold medal in Italy. Alex will go for glory at September's Asian Games in Hangzhou and is also bidding to book a spot on Team China's roster for next year's Paris Olympics.
Yes, Alex said, such an important year and so happy to start with an international level 4 win. There's a lot to do this year with individual and team Olympic qualifications as well as the Asian Games. And it is a huge relief that all of my horses and team's hard work over the winter is paying off.
Alex ranked second after February 27th dressage competition and maintained that position after February 28th morning's show jumping round, but a better-than-expected performance in the cross-country saw the 33-year-old overtake a Dutch rider Sander Rong at the CCI Level 4 event. Alex credited his horse, Yoson van Berehof, aka Chucks, for the victory.
All right, in our China Club session, we will introduce you the crafty pony Wan Ou Ma Shu, a British brand that sells soft toy pony with realistic walking tech and an educational booklet finds its way to China.
Crafty ponies were founded in 2010, and in order to find out whether toy ponies they made are liked by people or not, they participate in the Little Pony Live Show. At the same, people like those toys very much, though not everyone. Meanwhile, the Toy Pony Sewing Kit entered a toy and games competition and was highly commended in the Creative Play Awards. In 2013, Karen Darren, the company's founders, came to China to secure a manufacturing chain to transform from small-scale handcraft to large-scale flow production. Later, the brand was recommended by Chinese Equestrian Association and supports a large number of equestrian competitions, especially for young riders.
Alright, for our China story today, one interview a famous horse racing journalist in Hong Kong, Bert Wenders. Let's hear it out.
Hey Bart, long time no see. I guess the last time we saw each other is about 4 years ago at Songhua for the exhibition race day at Songhua Racecourse.
Wow, it's really a long time, man.
Yeah, I heard about there's a second exhibition race day coming up.
It's in 2015, I think.
Maybe, sooner. I think you have big plans for that.
Yeah, but after 2015, I think they do have racing regularly in Chongfa.
Yeah, so I heard. Great. So, and to the viewers and listeners who don't know you, first of all, please give us a brief introduction about you and how do you enter the equine industry and what do you do now as a horse professional?
So I get into this in July 1997. I just joining a newspaper as a racing reporter, try to report the news and the horse racing news to cover it. But as time went by, I get more experience and get more knowledge. And then I start to do some other things. And I was a jockey's agent in Macau, and I buy and selling horses. And also I write articles in other newspaper and magazine. And now I go to I'm a host on YouTube for some racing show and race period. Real shows for overseas races, so just go many different wings going now.
Great. I know that you have the show come up in a few hours, right?
Yes, the overseas preview show for Dubai Super Saturday.
Saturday, the first G1 races for the Emirates racing calendar.
Yes, actually, this year is not very good.
Okay.
It's a biggest day before the Dubai World Cup day, right? So yeah, we need to do a preview show for that.
I remember the first overseas race I commented on was 2016 Dubai Racing Carnival. It is a great race.
It is great, but right now I think Just like I said to other press, this emergence of the Middle East circuit right now. You see Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, they all try to have their races now. And I think later on, you see a huge circuit. I think maybe starting in January to March, I think it turns to really great with a lot of stakes money. And the race standard will keep going up, I think.
Great. So the first 3 months, you have that great races right before the flat season kickoffs in Europe.
I would guess so. That's what I foresee.
Yes. So since about the whole Hong Kong racing as well, can you tell us what has been achieved in Hong Kong racing over the past few years?
As we know, the last few years is the Hong Kong and everywhere in the world is hitting hard by the COVID. But as far as I remember, Hong Kong is one of the first racing jurisdiction to carry on closed door racing, to keep the racing going on, at least keep the people's working and keep the racing, or for such many countries have been turnovers going on first. It is important too, because it is for the fight for the survival of many racing jurisdictions.
Yeah.
And also, they push forward the idea of the world pool. First, we have the commingling for the Hong Kong racing, but now they develop one step further to have a world pool, just like Hong Kong will become a hub to accept all the bettings from all around the world for some overseas races, just like they're helping the Royal Ascot to have the world pool. Mm-hmm. It helped their partners a lot, actually, especially, I think, the Royal Ascot, they benefit a lot from the world pool. And then they start to develop to Ireland and many different country right now. South Africa, I think these two should be internationally the greatest achievement for the Hong Kong Jockey Club in recent years, where the racing is attacked by the COVID. But for locally, I think the racing still keep going on and facing many challenges now, because we are not a breeding country. All the horses are import, but overseas the horse price is getting way, way, way expensive. Jockey Club have to put a lot of incentive, have to put a lot of increased stakes money to attract the owners and trainers, try to get good horses to come to Hong Kong. Otherwise, the Hong Kong racing standards is going to get down. But so far, everything is still okay.
Right. As you said, World Pool is very beneficial to Hong Kong Jockey Club and other jurisdictions in other places. And I understand World Pool is a hot topic in the past few Asian racing conference. I think Andrew Harding or the chairman have to say something, a long speech about World Pool. Since you just came back from this year's Asian racing conference, can you ask what happened or anything interesting in Melbourne?
I think more cooperation is more important, I think, with different racing jurisdictions. They found out racing grew up during the COVID period in terms of horse population, even the betting turnover, because certain part of the betting industry, just like the casino, has been die hard because of the COVID. It gives some chance for the racing industry and give many opportunities now in this COVID period, just like technologies people need to put more attention on because of COVID. You know, people have to keep the distance, so they need to find out technology, how to keep the racing in contact with people. They give a lot of opportunity this period, but now COVID is gone. Now we need to see how we get counted. Keep this opportunity and take this opportunity to go further for the development of racing. And World Pool is still a main topic. And we talk about how the technology and how to, just like on different aspects, just like how the owners in after the new period, how to keep the relation between the owners, how different hunters and also customers. It's an overall review and a discussion, because there are many things we talk about. But the main theme on that is the opportunities that is ahead, but all the parties should work together to go for it, to achieve a bigger goal for that.
Oh, yes. And I understand that overall, the all sports in other places like the sport soccer or basketball, they are also facing a similar question, how to attract new fans, new spectators. I think this is for the horse racing as well. Anything has been discussed?
There's a topic. They have a guy, they have the study of generation Gen Z, it's called, right? Mm-hmm. Generation Z, the new generation.
Yeah.
How they usually behave, how the mentality, which is very different from us. I'm getting old, you know. But what he said is quite different from us. You know, I never think of a kid like that in this period of time. You know, but how to attract those people to get involved in racing will be a main topic is coming up. You know, it's not easy. for judging the way they act. But it's a huge task, but this is something we need to do to attract the young people. Those people, they get used to, you know, everything is digital.
Yeah.
They don't go out, they do everything online. But how they reach out to them to go to see the horses, to own the horses, or get involved in racing is the main topic is coming up in the next few years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a discussion on that. It's very complicated, actually, because I seldom hear young people act like this right now. You know, I feel surprised too, because there's a generation gap between me and them, but it's quite a fresh topic. It's a good one.
The things in here is like you have to attract the young fans. I think a lot of new racing fans in mainland China, they're getting the information from the Japanese ACG called Pretty Derby. They have season 1 and 2. They're coming a season 3 about famous race horses like Suzuka, something. A lot of new fans are obsessed with the show. So they learn about the racing in Japan, and later on they can watch race in Hong Kong, Macau, and some of them even pay visit to Wuhan or Yulong. Sai Ma Niang, the Chinese name is Sai Ma Niang, the English name is the Pretty Derby, I think.
Amazing. That's amazing, you know.
Yes, it's a cartoon. They like that. It's like the horses, but they all appear like teenage girls.
Yes, and also I guess the Japanese before has done a lot in this marketing to attract young people. They do a lot of work too. Before, many years ago, I interviewed them. That's why you see those cartoon TV games, all actually helped by the JR, Japanese Racing Association. Actually, they just want to get the interest of the young people to try to get involved in racing. And so far, I think they did a good job, but still a lot of things to do because the racing population is getting aged, actually. There's a fact, you know, but we need to do more. But Japanese has done a lot. Jockey Club tried to do something, but still, it is something that's never been easy. Too many competition, and the kids like many different things, like football and different type of sports now, you know. It's a very different thing too. So it's a hard work, but we need to keep trying.
Yeah, it's a attention business. Everyone trying to get the new one's attention. That means money.
Yes, yes. But I think if attract the race fan in China may be a little bit different because they don't have that past history of the whole horse racing. You know, for Hong Kong people or even some Japanese people, horse racing is some old thing.
Yeah.
Just like the kids nowadays think about Facebook. They think it's old. TikTok is a new one. Okay.
Yeah.
Just similar like that. But the horse racing fan in China maybe is different because before they don't been watched by those been those racing, you know. So racing is still new to them. Maybe they can attract more interest easier for them, I think.
Yeah, there may be one thing can be done about how to attract the young fans in mainland China. Get them into liking horse racing and even paying visit to race courses. That won't be easy because there is not as highly developed as the industry in Hong Kong.
Or maybe you can organize more tour to come to Hong Kong or come to other countries to watch racing.
Yeah, that could be done. That could be done after the restrictions are lifted off. I think that can be done this year.
It'll be nice, you know.
Great.
I joined a tour before they bring me to Shodai Farm in Japan. It'll be wonderful, you know, to see all the stallions, see all the training farms. It'll be wonderful for them to have a first look and all those behind the racing industry. It'll be good.
So I will leave it at that. I think I get a lot from this one for the viewers. So I will leave it at that. And thank you, Bart, and I hope to invite you back to the show.
It's my pleasure. Thanks a lot.
This is the 21st episode of Season 3. Please leave a comment wherever you listen to this podcast, as your feedback is how we can make it better. The next Monthly China Horse Business Live is coming.
Yes, the next webinar will take place on the 3rd of April from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Beijing time. See you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is co-hosted by Zoe King and Wen Li, powered by Wonder Horse, a business solution provider focusing on Chinese equine market and a bespoke equestrian community in China.